is the voice of the Indy 500. Mark, what is your voice like day after the race? How can you even utter a word?
I don't say a whole lot. It's a little bit taxing and mentally and emotionally, but it's something we've been blessed to do as the voice of the 500 for 10 years. It's my 30th year with the radio network, and it's an honor and a privilege, and it's all truly humbling, and I can't thank you all enough for giving me the opportunity to join you today on one of the iconic radio stations anywhere in America.
Oh, my gosh. You were born and raised in Indiana, right? You were a school teacher. How is it that you came to become the voice of the Indy 500?
Well, it's one of those stories where I guess I had a little bit of talent, but most importantly, I was in the right place at the right time. I was actually working full-time in radio in Terre Haute, Indiana, at a station owned by the Holman George family, of course, longtime owners and stewards of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And in 1995, when the formation of the Indy Racing League was announced by Tony George, by 96, they were looking for a full-time broadcast crew, and I was a member of the family, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Jenkins was kind enough to invite me to join the radio network in 1996 for the 500, and then I started to be part of the travel crew in 1997, and I was a pit reporter for 3 years, and then in 2000, I went to Turn 3, and then was in Turn 3 for 15 years, and as I said, this is my 10th year as the anchor, and it was about 2001, I kind of morphed into education and left radio full-time, and so I guess I'm lucky enough that I don't do any one thing long enough to get tired of it. I try to stay pretty versatile and spread myself around a little bit.
But I had read that perhaps you were that kid in the 70s that had a cassette recorder and you were doing a little play-by-play, actually not knowing that one day you would be the voice of the Indy 500.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I used to get the neighbors to play some of the drivers of the day, like Boyd and Unser and Rutherford and Mears, and it was really cool all those years later to have the opportunity to interview all of those drivers in person and face-to-face. And, I had an elementary school principal. When I told him I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, he told me he'd watch me play softball and I wasn't very good and I might want to rethink that. So he told me that because of the fact I talk a lot, I love sports, I might want to consider a career in broadcasting and journalism. And I was lucky enough to go to work my sophomore year doing sports reports for a small town station right outside of Indianapolis, and started working full time there after high school, went to college, landed at WTHI, and the rest is history, as they say.
And what does it mean to everyone in your home state of Indiana to be able to watch the race as well this year because it's a sellout?
Yeah, well, we're thrilled for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway under the guidance and leadership of Doug Bowles, our president. I mean, you go back to the 100th Indy 500, and I think Doug's goal at that time was to make sure that fans that have always been fans of the 500 come, but he really has worked hard to introduce this race and racing to a whole new generation of fans. And I think the fact that there's the sold-out sign on the door is indicative of the kind of work that he and his team have put together. And of course, the talent and the star power of the NTT IndyCar Series has a lot to do with it. But, we're thrilled for the sellout. We really are. We trust people, with not any disrespect to our television brethren, but locally we'll turn the TV up and then turn the sound down on the TV and turn up the radio network. But by and large, we know that we'll still have a massive audience nationwide, worldwide, and television will too locally. But I am really pleased for a lot of people that for various reasons just can't simply make it to the Indianapolis 500. It doesn't mean they're not fans. They just don't have the means to get here. And I'm thrilled to death that they get the chance to enjoy the 109th running on Sunday.
Well, I love that we're carrying it on WGN because, as you know, many people are, you know, putzing around the yard at a barbecue, in a car, headed to visit the cemetery, and everyone listens to you on the radio on that day. And as you said, it's not just here in the Midwest. It's nationally, it's internationally, and it's just got to be adrenaline that can only be matched by those that are actually out there racing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Our goal is twofold as a network, and we've talked about this collectively. I mean, you know, we want to enhance the experience for those that are here because there's going to be a lot of people here on headsets on race day listening to our broadcast. But we also, more importantly, want to make the people who aren't here feel as though they are. And I think one of the reasons why people tell us we do that so well, I think one of the reasons we do is because most of us grew up doing just what you suggest. We were out in our backyards, out on the boats. We were with our families, and we were taking trips and things of that nature. And that's how we all grew up listening to the Indianapolis 500, and we know how much we enjoyed it. And so we feel certainly honored to have the opportunity to carry on that tradition and that path that was blazed by so many that came before.
Oh, you know what that sound means. We just lost him. Drew will get him back on. It's Mark James. He is the voice of the Indy 500. And if you heard that piece of audio that we opened the break with, I mean, imagine doing that for hours and hours. It's amazing that he even is speaking with us today or anyone. Simply, Mark, I was saying how amazing it is that you're actually doing media today or speaking with us. We appreciate it because your voice is... That's what you will depend on come Sunday. And I would imagine you've probably been working all week as the whole Indy is gearing up.
Yeah, you know, this week is actually probably the easiest one of the month because leading up into qualifying, we covered all the practice sessions leading up to qualifying last weekend. And so I would go to school until about 1 o'clock and then come here and be on the air from 3 to 6. And then we were on the air all day Saturday and Sunday, and then we were on the air for a couple of hours on Monday. I did get a chance to rest and relax Tuesday, Wednesday, and yesterday, but today's a double duty day as well because after our two-hour carb day practice, when I'm done with you folks, I'm going to hop in the car, I'm going to head back to Monrovia High School, and we're going to live stream our high school graduation tonight. So it's a pretty busy schedule for me, and then we'll be back. We'll have tomorrow to rest and relax and enjoy time with friends and then be here very, very early on Sunday to get ready for the broadcast.
You might just be the only high school educator whose kids keep their papers that you've signed because I've got to imagine they think it's pretty cool having you as one of their educators.
Well, you know, what's funny is that, you know, I had a student and his family here last year, and I got stopped in Gasoline Alley, and a couple of people wanted to have their picture taken with me and have me sign their programs and their T-shirts, and he really wasn't believing what he was seeing because, understand, they don't see me in this world much. They really don't. And so that kind of gave them a glimpse as to who I was and what I do when I'm not there. And I'll say usually early in the year, like in August when the school year starts and we go out and do a couple of races on the regular NTT Indy Car Series schedule, some of my first-year students will be in the car with their parents and they'll hear my voice and not realize that that's their teacher. So those kids find that to be pretty cool. But our administration is very supportive and really flexible in terms of giving me the opportunity to continue to do this, and I'm grateful to them for that.
And who should we watch? Who are we watching to win? Who are we watching to break into the top 10?
Well, with the stories of the qualifying settlees and Joseph Newgarden and Will Power having to move from row 4 back to row 11, Joseph going for the unprecedented third consecutive Indy 500 win. He and Will Power are certainly ones to watch early. Elio Castroneves starting a little deeper in the field, but he has the chance to stand alone as a five-time winner. That front row is going to be interesting because you've got the rookie Robert Schwartzman with a new team in Prema Racing. But next to him, you know, he has Takuma Sato, who's looking to join the three-time winners club, and then Pato Award, who's on the outside, who was the runner-up a year ago. So there are plenty of storylines to follow for sure, plenty of talented drivers, but ultimately my philosophy has always been no matter who wins it, it's a big story because it's the Indy 500.
I love that because you just went into your professional voice. It went from interview to he's on the mic for the Indy. It's really lovely to meet you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will be listening on WGN.
Well, thanks for being a proud affiliate. And again, I'm honored to be with your station. I mean, obviously, as I said, and I'm not just Blowitz, but one of the heritage stations, the great stations in America, and appreciate all you do for us.
Thank you so much. Our coverage starts at 9 a.m. on Sunday. It's the Indy 500 on 720 WGN.